Process flow scheduling. Process manufacturing is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as production that adds value by mixing, separating, forming, and/or performing chemical reactions. It may be done in either batch or continuous mode. C. Project manufacturing. Examples include chemical and petroleum-based product manufacturing, food and beverage processing, synthetic rubber production, textiles and carpeting weaving, steelmaking, cement manufacture. Process flow scheduling is a planning and scheduling framework that was developed by Sam G. Taylor and Stephen F. Bollander to meet the planning needs of capital-intensive, repetitive, and continuous production operations. In these industries, certain conditions apply. All of the products have similar routings, creating a flow of materials through a series of process stages. This is in contrast with a job shop, where each product may have a unique routing through work centers. Production often is scheduled to meet forecast demand rather than customer orders. Most process plants produce intermediate or finished goods for stock. Production is authorized by production schedules, not work orders. Process flow scheduling has three principles, each of which is discussed below. Scheduling calculations are based on the structure of the production process. This is in contrast to scheduling based on the structure of the finished good, as described by the bill of material. Scheduling for the stages within a process is done with processor or material-dominated scheduling. A process train, including all the stages, can be scheduled using reverse flow scheduling, forward flow scheduling, or mixed flow scheduling. Process structure. Bollander and Taylor propose a taxonomy of process structures. This is shown in Exhibit 7-55, which illustrates the three stages included in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition of the term process train. A representation of the flow of materials through a process industry manufacturing system that shows equipment and inventories. Equipment that performs a basic manufacturing step, such as mixing or packaging, is called a process unit. Process units are combined into stages, and stages are combined into process trains. Inventories decouple the scheduling of sequential stages within a process train. Exhibit 7-55, process structures. Process trains can be linear, transforming one raw material into one product. Bollander and Taylor offer the example of a potato processor that produces a peeled, shredded, and packaged frozen potato product. Trains can be more complex, for example, using the same raw materials in different combinations to make different products in different sizes. Two trains can converge to make a single product, or they can diverge to make multiple products. In addition to producing end products, process trains may produce byproducts and co-products, which will be defined in an example below. A process train is composed of stages, and each stage is composed of at least one unit. A process unit performs a basic step, such as mixing or fermentation. Structuring the process train in stages allows the stages to be scheduled independently. Inventory can be decoupled at the stage level. This allows each stage to be run independently of the other stages to accommodate different levels of efficiency or lot sizes. Example of process structure. To illustrate a process train, let's consider a sugar refinery. The sugar refinery produces different types of sugar products, granulated and powdered, white and grades of brown molasses. The refinery is designed so that the raw resource passes through the same steps in the same order. Exhibit 7-56 shows, in a very simplified way, the process train in this plant. Exhibit 7-56, sugar refinery process train. Stage 1. The process begins by loading the raw sugar cane into a machine that cuts the cane into smaller pieces, which then pass through a series of mills where water is added. The liquid result of this stage is passed through to the next stage, which will continue the refining process. The biomass left over from the milling process, essentially a cane mush, is a byproduct, defined by the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a material of value produced as a residual of or incidental to the production process. The ratio of byproduct to primary product is usually predictable. Byproducts may be recycled, sold as is, or used for other purposes. C. Co-product. This byproduct is transported to the plant's power center where it is burned and powers the plant's turbines. Stage 2. The cane juice produced in stage 1 passes through a series of thermal and chemical processes that gradually clarify the juice. There is another byproduct produced during this process called mill mud. The mill mud is transported in large containers to sugar fields where it serves as a soil conditioner. The clarified juice is dried into a crystal form. The material that cannot be dried, molasses, becomes a co-product, defined by the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a product that is usually manufactured together with or sequentially with another product because of product or process similarities. C. By product. It is sent directly to the packaging stage. The main end product of this stage is raw sugar, which still has some molasses. It can be sent to packaging, where it is marketed as naturally refined brown sugar, or it is directed into the third stage, stage 3. The crystallized sugar can pass through different processes to create different products. Some of the sugar may be ground more finely for baking purposes. Some will have molasses added back in to make a less expensive form of brown sugar. Some will be sent to another plant that adds other ingredients to produce powdered sugar or sugar cubes. Scheduling stages. An individual stage may be scheduled using either processor-dominated or material-dominated scheduling. Processor-dominated scheduling. Processor-dominated scheduling, PDS, is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a technique that schedules equipment, processor, before materials. This facilitates scheduling equipment in economic run lengths and the use of low-cost production sequences. Processor-dominated scheduling is used in some process industries. C. Material-dominated scheduling, MDS. The steps in PDS are as follows. Prepare a finite capacity schedule for the process, using finite forward scheduling and production capacity. Check the projected inventory to see if it is within the target minimum and maximum levels. Revise the production schedule. This may involve revising a forecast or accepting that a forecast will not be met. Schedule the raw materials to meet the capacity schedule. Note that a problem with the supply of raw materials may necessitate revising the production schedule. Exhibit 7-57 shows a processor-dominated schedule for a simple process train that contains one process that produces three products, A, B, and C. Exhibit 7-57. Processor-dominated schedule. The process unit appears to be able to produce all three products in a 10-day production period, making full use of the equipment. Product A's projected inventory in week 3, however, is above the maximum, which can result in higher inventory investment or unplanned storage costs. The process will be revised in as economical a manner as possible to minimize excess inventory and setups. Material-dominated scheduling. Material-dominated scheduling, MDS, is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a technique that schedules materials before processors, equipment, or capacity to facilitate the efficient use of materials. MDS can be used to schedule each stage in a process flow scheduling system. Material Requirements Planning, MRP, systems use MDS logic. C. Processor-dominated scheduling. Material planning begins with a time-phased material balance record. When finished goods inventory drops below a set minimum, production is scheduled to build to a target or maximum level. The steps in MDS are as follows. Create a time-phased record of material balances, using a technique similar to that in material requirements planning for calculating gross and net requirements. When inventory falls below the targeted level, add a lot to the schedule. Compile a load profile for the unit. Analyze and reconcile incompatibilities. This may be done by adjusting run lengths and changing inventory levels and/or production rates. If capacity cannot be balanced, the material-dominated schedule may have to be revised. Exhibit 7-58 shows a material-dominated schedule for product A. Exhibit 7-58. Material-dominated schedule. Product A has a lot size of 600 units, 3 days of production. It is scheduled for production on days 1 through 3 and again beginning on day 9, when it is apparent that there will not be enough inventory to supply requirements plus the minimum inventory level of 100 units on day 10. However, a load profile shows that there is not enough capacity on days 3 and 9. The scheduler could explore moving products C and B into the idle days or shifting production of A and B into other days without falling below the minimum inventory level. For example, if product B could be shifted to days 5 and 6, C could be shifted to day 4 without causing inventory to fall below 100 units. There are, of course, many other solutions to this problem. Exhibit 7-59 shows when PDS or MDS the approaches are most appropriate. Exhibit 7-59, when to use PDS or MDS, scheduling process trains. The process stages can be combined to build a schedule for the entire process train. Process flow scheduling describes three possible approaches to building a process train schedule: forward flow, reverse flow, and mixed flow. Forward flow scheduling. Forward flow scheduling is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a procedure for building process train schedules that starts with a first stage and proceeds sequentially through the process structure until the last stage is scheduled. Taylor and Bollander note that this approach is used infrequently, usually when an operation knows that its raw material supply is very limited. For example, operations that rely on the byproducts of other operations may use forward flow scheduling. Reverse flow scheduling. Reverse flow scheduling is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a scheduling procedure used in some process industries for building process train schedules. The scheduling starts with the last stage and proceeds backward, countercurrent to the process flow, through the process structure. The schedule is built, back to front, one stage at a time. Exhibit 7-60 shows an example of reverse flow scheduling in a three-stage process train. Exhibit 7-60. Reverse flow scheduling of process train. Stage 3, the final stage, is scheduled first. Stages can be scheduled using processor or material-dominated scheduling, PDS or MDS. In this example, PDS is used. The Stage 3 inventory is checked against the downstream inventory levels. If the inventory level is inadequate, Stage 3 is rescheduled. When the Stage 3 schedule is acceptable, Stage 2 is scheduled. The inventory is rechecked and Stage 2 rescheduled if necessary. Alternatively, the schedule for Stage 3 can be changed or the forecast can be revised. When satisfactory schedules for Stages 2 and 3 have been achieved, Stage 1 is scheduled and the steps of checking inventory and rescheduling are repeated as needed. The last step is to check the raw materials inventory. If there are supply problems, the schedules and inventory projections will have to be revised. Mixed flow scheduling. Mixed flow scheduling is defined by the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a procedure used in some process industries for building process train schedules that start at an initial stage and work toward the terminal process stages. This procedure is effective for scheduling when several bottleneck stages may exist. Detailed scheduling is done at each bottleneck stage. Exhibit 7-61 shows mixed flow scheduling on the three-stage process shown above. Exhibit 7-61. Mixed flow scheduling of process train. In this scenario, Stage 2 has been identified as a bottleneck stage in Step 1. It is scheduled first, using forward scheduling. In Step 2, Stage 2 creates buffer inventory, labeled I2. Then Stage 3 is scheduled in Step 3, using MDS, materials first, in this example. This creates I3. I2 must be reconciled at this point, adjusting the push of Stage 2 with the pull of Stage 3. If I2 is above its maximum or below its minimum, Stages 2 or 3 will have to be rescheduled. Alternatively, the forecast can be changed. When Stages 2 and 3 have been reconciled in Step 4, Stages 1 and I0, finished goods, can be scheduled using reverse flow scheduling. Probable scheduling. There is another scheduling method related to process trains. Probable scheduling. According to the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary, probable scheduling is a variant of scheduling that considers slack time to increase or decrease the calculated lead time of an order. Interoperation and administrative lead time components are expanded or compressed by a uniform stretching factor until no difference exists between the schedule of operations obtained by forward and backward scheduling. C. Lead time scheduling. Using this method can provide an extra element of flexibility, as it takes into consideration the possibility and length of delays that are allowed in each operation or stage of production that will not in turn cause delays in other stages. For example, the slack time available.